topic of discussion, though, is obesity a disease? So I don't have a really aggressive stance on this where I'm just like, fat people get it together. Like, it's not that, okay? But I think that we need to be very careful in this approach about obesity being a disease, because here's my stance. This is what I really feel about the conversation about obesity being a disease.
Feeling the pain, cause they biting something major. Looking around, I'm feeling like this is the night of the living double gangers. Everywhere I look, imitators stoppily trying to copy me, but they can't do it like as I step through this sea of unoriginality. I proceed with caution, cause I know when I see them teeth, they trying to bite off them. It occurs quite often, so many did think they double, till I hit them with that no huddle. It's the epidemic of imitating the vintage originator. Your mockery's not so subtle, and I'd hate to burst your bubble, but inject this into your newsfeed. I'm the new breed, I'm the best. That means the best you could ever do is the number two seed. In layman's, I do new things. You're trying to do what he do, and if you think you could do it like me, you'd have stepped on your own shoestring. Tripping. I have lyrical mood swings.
Shoot right through. What up, what up, what up, what up, what up? Welcome to VXG Vision and Grind, the one and only podcast that merges fitness, mindset, lifestyle, and culture. And you are rocking with your host, the one and only Mr. Double Up. Welcome in, y'all. Hey. I'm in here. No, I feel good today, man. Today is good on so many levels, man. I'm just in a good space. Where to start? Like, so my wife and I were talking yesterday, and we've been kind of having this conversation for the last few weeks, but yesterday it was kind of set in stone that our time in South Florida is come to an end. We've been out here for going on 7 years now, and it's probably been the best 7 years of both of our lives. We've made a home here. We had our son here. But there's just certain circumstances, mostly around the community we live in and just the nature of Florida and the taxes and just a lot of things that just make it like, okay, what else are we going to do? Where are we going? So I'm not going to tell you here on the podcast, but I did break that secret on my YouTube channel. So if you want to go right now to my YouTube channel, and you can hear exactly where we're going. Outside of that, though, it's this refreshing, renewed, just feeling. And it's so appropriate that that's happening because, God damn, in 2 weeks, I will be 40. If you're tired of hearing me say that, fuck you, because it's a big deal. And the funny part is I'll look back on this in a couple of years and be like, 40 was not that big of a deal, motherfucker. But like right now, it really feels like I'm turning the page on like a new chapter of my life. And it's felt like that every time. Like I can't say I remember going from 19 to 20. But I distinctly remember going from 29 to 30 because that year of my life in 2013, I probably told y'all the story before, but let's do story time with Double Up. 2007, I got in like my big legal trouble, and 2008 got sentenced and was in a halfway house and was supposed to get released in 2015 and ended up getting out early in 2013, 10 years ago. It was actually 2013 in March when I got my life back, and I booked a flight to California with my wife. And y'all know I'm from California, but because we moved and then I got in my legal situation for all my 20s, like I got in. So I told you in 2007, I got in legal trouble. Like that's the big one. But before I turned 21, I was getting in trouble, just like dumb shit. Like, driving without a license and possession of weed. And my first felony was possession of ecstasy pills. And I took a plea that pleaded down to possession of cocaine, which didn't even make sense now. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. Anyway, another time, another story. But point is, like my whole 20s, I gave them away. Like, okay, I can't leave the state. Only time I left the state was to see my niece be born. And that was in 2011. in Detroit. And the funny part is, I think that's why I was released early, because they said in order for me to take that flight, this is just a kind of side tangent, but in order for me to take that flight, I have to pay off the rest of my restitution. So I wrote the motherfuckers a check for like 2 racks. And I guess at that point it was like, why are we keeping him here? He already paid everything. He's not fucking up. So they just cut me loose early. Anyway, so 29 going into 30, I spent on the beach in California that I had not seen prior to that in probably 20 years. It was like 18 years. I hadn't seen it. So that's how I spent my 30th birthday. I have a picture of me sitting on Santa Monica Pier, just looking off into the distance. And it's like, fuck, I have not been to that in a while. So the significance of 40 coming along is just so much. I don't know. It feels good. I feel like where most people would go through the midlife crisis shit, because my interpretation of a midlife crisis is literally just like you look up, so much time has passed, you've been so head down in your day-to-day shit that you realize that you have not lived your life. Well, let me tell y'all something. I have lived my life. I have done everything I've ever wanted to do. I wanted to make music. I made music. I wanted to move and live by the beach. I live by the beach. It's 10 minutes that way. I have everything that I've ever asked for. So it's not a midlife crisis, but it really just feels like turning 40. First of all, I didn't expect to be here by 40. And it wasn't like anything weird like that. It's just like we weren't thinking ahead like that. It's just like living for the now. But that's why I was able to do all the shit that I wanted to do. So as I'm coming into 40, it's just like, who am I? Who do I want to be? And I'm so like dead ass serious about life right now. It just feels good to be alive. It does. And so I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be able to get my voice to your ears, because listen, at the end of the day, like I am here for a purpose, and my purpose is to help as many people as possible get in the best physical and mental shape of their life for life. So with that being said, let's get into today's episode, y'all, because this topic today is going to disturb a lot of people in a good way. I think it's just going to shake up your way of thinking, and it's going to it might trigger you a little bit depending on, where you are in your life. But today's episode is specifically about obesity. And is obesity a disease? So the reason this question came up is because I was listening to, I wasn't even listening to the podcast. I just caught a clip on YouTube of Joe Rogan and Bill Maher talking about the subject. And I guess they talked about a bunch of shit. And listen, I'm not a fan of either one of those guys. Like, I don't follow them like that. Bill Maher, he's kind of weird to me. He made that religious documentary years ago. And when I was in my faith, I was like, this motherfucker. Then I watched it in my deconstruction phase, and I realized, like, he's an antagonist. He's just, like, over here fucking with people for no reason. So that's my interpretation of Bill Maher. I think he's, like, he'd be on some weird shit, but, it is what it is. Anyway, so I'm listening to the clip, and the clip is about, is obesity a disease, and how that has kind of shifted people's approach to fitness. Here, I'm going to play the clip and then we'll discuss it.
We've given up on the idea that obesity is something that can be contained by exercise and diet. It's now a disease.
Mm-hmm.
But what I find the most alarming is the way, in just a matter of a few years, the group think that this is a disease now.
No.
That cannot be controlled by what for 50, 100, a million years before this, it was the scientific consensus that, of course, you can control it.
Yeah.
With diet and exercise. It just in a couple of years, that went out the window. And you cannot find an article on the front page or in the op-ed page of the New York Times in the last couple of years that has any other belief than this one, that it is a disease, it is not within a person's control. So they're all in on Ozempic or whatever else, because we certainly can't leave this to people themselves to control it. That's a giant sea change. And the way they sheep-like just go right in a row.
Yeah.
No dissent. Not one person standing up in the paper of record to say, wait a second, this can't really be the case. I mean, 50 years ago, we looked like a completely different people.
Yeah.
Why is it the case? In 50 years, did we evolve in 50 years, human beings? Was cake not delicious in 1969? I think it was. And yet somehow people resisted it.
Okay, so boom. That's the clip that I heard right there. So as you can hear, right, so there's a little snarky tone to it. And you know, Joe Rogan, from what I know of his podcast, he talks a lot about health and fitness. And he's very like, experimental? But he's not like your average person who goes by the book. Like he kind of discovers his own shit and he brings people who think differently on his show and they have conversations and I respect it. Like I said, I don't say I 100% agree with everything he says. But anyway, the topic of discussion though is obesity a disease? So I don't have a really aggressive stance on this where I'm just like, fat people get it together. Like it's not that, okay? But I think that we need to be very careful in this approach about obesity being a disease, because here's my stance. This is what I really feel about the conversation about obesity being a disease. I think saying obesity is a disease is a way for pharmaceutical companies to sell you more shit. That's really the main reason why it's phrased like that. It's positioned like that. You have doctors getting on television shows and they're basically saying like, it's okay that you're like fat and out of shape and that your health is declining and it's not your fault. And so listen, we're not playing the blame game here. Whose fault, whatever. My point is that we need to look at this issue differently. We need to approach it. Yes, there does need to be accountability. Yes, there does need to be understanding about how the human body works. Number one, like this should all be common knowledge. Like we in school, they teach you all the shit about, you know, American history and, you know, math and science. Part of all of that should be the function of the human body. So you know how not to fuck up your shit. Real talk. And so this is what gets me. This is what gets me about the whole conversation. So the literal definition of a disease, I'm going to read it to you right now. A disorder of structure or function in a human, animal, or plant, especially one that has a known cause and a distinctive group of symptoms, signs, and anatomical changes. By literal definition, obesity is a disease. Like it. By literal definition, what I just said in the second definition, a particular quality, habit, or disposition regarded as adversely affecting a person or group of people. Again, by literal definition, obesity is a disease. Yet we have to be very careful how we treat obesity. So obesity is not a disease in the same way that diabetes is a disease. In fact, diabetes is a byproduct of obesity, or it can be a byproduct of obesity. But you treat diabetes differently than you would treat obesity. I think when we have the conversation about obesity being a disease, we're framing it as if it's something outside of our control that needs to be treated. Obesity does not necessarily need to be treated, okay? Obesity there is a byproduct of our habits, our day-to-day habits, how we treat our body. And you gotta think about, first of all, like, what do we classify as obese? Because if we're taking, like, your BMR as a metric for measuring obesity, I'm considered obese. I am overweight when it comes to, you know, the average height, weight, age. I'm overweight in that department, yet when you look at me, you don't call me obese. And so really what we're talking about with obesity is excess body fat. Now, if we talk about excess body fat, just in and of itself, Excess body fat is detrimental to your overall health. You heard that in the clip. It's true. Excess body fat is detrimental to your overall health. And excess body fat can be reduced through lifestyle changes, through changes in your diet and nutrition. Okay. Now, the problem that American society has is that collectively, we do not move enough. We do not. We have these vehicles that take us from point A to point B. We leave point A by we're sitting on something. We get in our car, sit down, we drive to the fucking place. We might walk 10 steps and then go sit or lay down, and we're not moving our bodies. That's just our day-to-day. You look at most people's day-to-day activity, it's nothing. It's absolutely nothing. It's getting out of bed, walking down some stairs, and then everything else is you're in a mechanism that's transporting you somehow. You're on a train, you're in a car, you're on a plane. You know what I'm saying? Like nobody's like that. Even if you just took the time to walk more, you're getting on the mends there. Okay. And we're just talking about movement. I'll talk about nutrition in just a moment, but movement, right? So you look at these other countries, and I did a video about blue zones on TikTok that went dumb, crazy viral. So you can check that out. But you know, it's just talking about blue zones in reference to the documentary Live to 100, where they're giving you the blueprint on how to extend your life, how to improve your quality of life, and how to avoid becoming obese or get yourself out of that. But it's all in your daily habits. It's your lack of movement. And like I say, in American society, that's a thing. And this is why obesity rates are so fucking high in our country. Is because we have set it up that way for convenience. Everything is convenient. You know that your fat ass can get on your phone right now and get food delivered to your mouth. Like not literally to your mouth, but like you can get food delivered to your place. You don't have to get up, but to answer the door, you might not even have to do that. You feel me? That's the whole thing about this whole culture of treating obesity as a disease that needs treatment, is that we're putting a Band-Aid on a flesh wound, okay? If you give a person who is severely obese medication to improve their body fat to lean muscle ratio, you're not fixing the problem, because the problem is, what are these people putting in their face? What are they eating? How much are they moving their body? So we talk about movement. Movement, look, y'all know I'm a strength and conditioning coach. Y'all know that I am a body recomposition specialist, and I specialize in this. So I'll tell you to go follow a program, to go get a coach, okay? But that's when you want to define and refine what you already have been working for. And if you're in those initial stages of like, I'm going from nothing to something, literally just taking your behind to the fucking gym and getting on that treadmill is going to get it done to a certain extent. Do that every day. Just instead of what are you doing right now listening to this? Like you could be listening to this on a treadmill. You can be listening to this outside, you know, taking a walk. Like that's a good start, and you make that a habit. I'm a firm believer that we all should be challenging ourselves physically. So in addition to, you know, that movement, you should be putting stress on those muscles so that they can repair themselves and build strength. Yeah, you may or may not want a beautiful, aesthetically pleasing, muscular body. Fine, you don't need to have that. But what you do need to do is move your body, build your muscle, because that lean muscle is what helps decrease that body fat. Just the existence of that muscle on your body increases your caloric expenditure, which then draws from that fat for energy. If, let's segue into nutrition, you're not overeating. So overeating is a huge thing in this country because food is at a surplus. There's more than enough food to go around in this country. Like people throw food away. You know how many times I'm guilty of that shit? How many times we just forgot that fucking thing of salad was in the thing and it's like, fuck, gotta throw it away. Or we had dinner and it was delicious and couldn't finish it, so there's leftovers, but we forgot and we went something down, we got thrown away. We dispose so much food. And we've got to understand that just because there's so much food, you don't have to eat it all. In fact, you don't have to eat most of it. This country, America, is so full of, like I said, there's so much food, but this food is not even like high quality food. Like most people, when they're hungry, they're going to pull up to a drive-thru. You know what I'm saying? I want a number two. And that, you know what I'm saying? Like the food that you're eating is just garbage. And so you're not, your body is not being nourished properly. You know, like you're getting a fucking Big Mac and fries and a Coke. Like, okay, what of that entire meal does your body actually need? Like, what is it processing properly? And what the rest of it is making you sick. It's just chipping away at your functionality, like your body's functionality. And that's just what we do. As a culture, is we just have this perpetual cycle of like stuffing our face and sitting on our ass, okay? And we are just susceptible. We are a magnet to disease. Like I'm telling you, like we talk about obesity being a disease, but obesity is like the gateway to the other disease, like heart disease, like I said before, diabetes, like all of these things are a byproduct of obesity, and you can stop it. You can stop it. Now, once you have, you know, you have gotten into that space where your health is now a problem, then yes, we need to start having medical intervention and start addressing those specific problems. And you know what the dumb part is? This fucking blows my mind. If you go to a doctor right now and you tell them you want to improve your overall health, you're overweight, you're tired of being overweight, you want your life back, they're going to see what ailments you're dealing with, prescribe you something, and then tell you, get ready for it, to move your body more and eat less. Shit. This is the part that, like, if you just do that anyway, I know I have sometimes a coarse approach to this. Like, get over it. It's the truth. It's the fucking truth. The more you move your body and the less food that you put in your face, the healthier you're going to be. And then, of course, we talk about de-stressing our lives. You know, we talk about getting adequate rest, drinking enough water. Like, these are also things that improve the quality of your life. But you see it all day long on Instagram and TikTok and all these apps of like, how do you think these people, like, how do you really think these people are experiencing these results in weight loss? They are experiencing these results because they have finally said, I'm tired of this shit. And they are walking themselves in the direction of a healthy lifestyle. And no, it don't happen overnight. It doesn't happen in 4 weeks. It doesn't happen in this 30-day program that this motherfucker is advertising. Like, no, it happens when it happens. And then when it happens, you've got to maintain it. And so the bottom line is that the thing that we are so hung up about is that we don't want to believe that it's that simple. We don't want to believe that it's that simple, and we don't want to do that shit. Like, if you tell especially somebody who has gotten so used to a sedentary lifestyle and really does not see any issue with their body's functionality, with being overweight, with having excess body fat, you cannot convince that motherfucker to go to the gym. You can't tell them to put down them potato chips. You can't tell them that the drive-thru is not bad because they're not experiencing that shit. And that's, to me, like, that is the worst part of it all, is that it doesn't become a problem until it becomes a problem, until you wake up and your left side's numb. You know what I'm saying? Or you know, like, we don't want that. Your loved ones don't want that from you. They don't want to see you laid up in some bed in a hospital dealing with something that could have been avoided had you made better choices. But instead, you want to be selfish. You want to sit on your ass because you're lazy and you want to eat all the food that you can. Now, listen, I'm saying this and I know somebody's hearing me going, but what about food addiction? Yeah, what about it? It is a thing, and it is a contributor to this bigger picture, but it's not a death sentence, and it's not something that you cannot start to mend. I think we just have to be serious about this. I refuse to be the one that's going to pet you and coddle you and say that, you know, it's okay. It's okay to be overweight. It's okay to be obese. It's okay. Like, it's not. It's not okay. It's detrimental to your health. And if you have loved ones and people who depend on you, you're disrespecting them by disrespecting yourself. Like, it's not about you, motherfucker. It's not about, I don't feel like working out. So? Who cares? Who cares what you feel like? You know what? I guarantee you, your children don't feel like attending your funeral. How about that shit? That's what we got to wrap our heads around. We have to be very sincere about this because, like, again, I'll be the one. I'll take the bullet. I will talk this shit because somebody needs to hear it, and somebody needs to hear it and have their wake-up call. Obesity, if you want to call it a disease, go ahead. You can call it a disease. It doesn't change the fact that you can change it. You can change it. You can shift the trajectory of your life. That is not your inevitable outcome. If you decide right now in this moment that you're going to make healthy lifestyle changes, and like I said, it doesn't have to be CrossFit. You don't have to go join Orange Theory right now. Like, you literally just have to make the decision to take care of your body and do the things that are a part of taking care of your body, which include movement, which include nutrition and taking care of what you put in your face. These are the things that we have to abide by in order to circumvent all of the bullshit that comes along with obesity. Now, I'm going to leave it right there, man, because I could talk about this shit all day. And I just want y'all to know that, like, this is all coming from a space of love. This is coming from a space of, I don't want to see you die. I don't want you to be hooked on these pills. And I don't want you to think that these pills are going to save you. Ozempic is not the answer. The answer is to get off your ass and move. Okay. The answer is to mind your nutrition. And if you want to then add those things, that's on you, Playboy. But I'm trying to tell you, like, you can do this. I believe in you. I know you can do this. You can get out of this state. You can improve your physical state as soon as you make the declaration that you're going to do that. And I'm here to support. If you know that you need that support, tap in with me. You know what I do. You know who I am. And you know that I have nothing but the best of intentions. My mission, I've told you, is to help as many people as possible get in the best physical shape ever. You know what I mean? And that's what I'm here to do. I'm here to help you get there. So tap in, go to vxgperformance.com, apply for coaching. Let's have a conversation. I don't give a fuck if you're 400 pounds. I can help you if you are open to being helped. But you got to do it before it's too late. And with that said, I need you to keep your eyes on your vision and your mind on the grind. Let's go.